Job chapter 1. We're going to talk about goings on in heaven. And then get to chapter 8, where Tommy was guiding us last week, and give you some more thoughts on that in the light of what it tells us about things going on in heaven and about prayer. But in the book of Job, in chapter 1, it says this, verse 6. Now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, that Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, What comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and turneth away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God or not? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now I read that to show you that while Job on earth is unaware of what is transpiring in heaven, things that are going to change his life so drastically are occurring because of what is going on in heaven. And something similar now in Revelation, the first, so that we can see from symbolism, turn to Psalm 141, from symbolism, what's in the book of Revelation, look at Psalm 141, verse 1. Lord, I have called upon thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I call unto thee. Now this is the verse. Listen carefully. Let my prayer be set forth as incense before thee, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Two thoughts, and they're both most important. There were two columns of smoke ascending to God in Israel. One of them was from the lamb that was on the altar of burnt offering. And it speaks here also about my hands, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So you have the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. And just as your hands go up to God, so the evening sacrifice was ascending to God, the smoke of the evening sacrifice, its incense. But also, it speaks about, let my prayer be set forth as incense before thee. And there was a golden altar as well as a brazen altar. Now, it wasn't an animal's incense or smoke or fragrance that went up from the brazen altar, but from the golden altar, there were sweet portions of incense made in a special way that were placed upon coals on that golden altar, and then the smoke of that incense went up to God. One other thing. On that golden altar, incense went up, but I think I will show it to you. Turn to Leviticus chapter 16. Chapter 16, and look at verse 12. This is the high priest on the Day of Atonement. And it says, He shall take a censer full of coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die night. So this is one time in the year when the cloud, the smoke of the incense, went up not before God in the holy place, but in the holy of holies. I wanted you to see that. Please notice that he takes the coals of fire off the brazen altar, and he puts them in a censer, and he then has incense upon that censer, and he takes it into the presence of God. Now, let's look at Revelation. Revelation, the last of chapter 7, and I'll read you a little bit, chapter 8. No, let's look in chapter 6 to hear what happened when the sixth seal, 6:12. In chapter 6, the seals are loosed by the Savior, and it says in verse 12, "And I saw when he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Terrible things occurred when he opened his sixth seal." Now, look over at chapter 8, verse 1. "And when he opened the seventh seal, there followed a silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels that stand before God, and there were given unto them seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood over the altar, having a golden censer." I told you about a censer in Leviticus 16. "And there was given unto him much incense, that he should add it unto the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel taketh the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast it upon the earth. And there followed thunders, and voices, and lightning, and an earthquake." Now let's try to put all this together by reading two more scriptures. Look in chapter 5. Look at verse 8. "And when the Savior had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So God tells us that incense is a symbol of the prayers of the saints, just as it's also a symbol of the smoke that ascended from the burnt offering. And they sing a new song, and so forth. Now, in chapter 6, and I'll try to tell you a little bit about it. In chapter 6, verse 9, "And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a great voice, saying, How long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And there was given them to each one a white robe, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while until their fellow servants also and their brethren, who should be killed even as they were, should have fulfilled their course." Now, we'll try to put some things together. What is so remarkable is the numerous angels in this book of Revelation. And in your King James, you'll find the occurrence of angels 76 times, and they have various duties. Some of them are announcing, and some of them are destroying, and some of them are protecting. But what is so remarkable in chapter 8 is that we have an angel that is doing the work of what a priest would do in the Old Testament. It says that Aaron the high priest wants to take that golden censer and put incense in it, and he and his sons were to offer burnt offerings upon the brazen altar. But you're liable to think it's a strange thing that we have not a man or a priest doing these things, but an angel doing these things. But if you think of the ministry of angels, the variety of their ministries, it's not strange at all. Because since the very day of the fall of man, angels have ministered for God for the good of man or for the destruction of man. Angels, all angelic beings, they're spoken of in various ways, but you've heard of them as seraphim and cherubim, but all of them are angelic beings of different courses, of different degrees, because they're spoken of as principalities and powers and thrones and dominions, and so there are all kinds of angels and all grades of angels. And if you think, quite often, angels are seen in Scripture as being worshippers of God. In Isaiah 6, they cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So you say, angels in heaven. Yes. And so turn to Isaiah 6. I want you to see this. Someone says it's strange that an angel is having to do anything with the altar, the brazen altar, and the golden altar. But in chapter 6, this is what we read. The angels that are crying, "Holy, holy, holy," in verse 6, it says, "Then flew one of the seraphim," this is a different kind of angel, "unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin forgiven." You say, why, here is a remarkable thing. Here is an angel now that is functioning at the altar, that is talking about forgiveness of sins, that is doing something that caused Isaiah to have his sins forgiven, to have himself cleansed so that he can serve God. That's a remarkable thing. Well, in like manner, a similar thing happens in Revelation chapter 8. So keep that in mind. It's not a strange thing for an angel to have something to do about the altar with the forgiveness of sins. At times, angels do things for men, and at times they do things against men. When men are to be judged, you'll find that angels are sent by God to destroy men. But in Isaiah 6, you have a seraphim that is being used of God to cleanse and to have Isaiah's sins forgiven symbolically by that coal that was taken off the altar. So you say, well, God can do it either through a man or he can do it through an angel. And that is true. But in fullness and in reality, it only can be done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that Aaron did is a symbol. Anything that an angel does, anything that man does, it is simply doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because only he has power to forgive sins. We have no power. If we tell a man to trust in the Lord Jesus and he shall be saved, we can forgive his sins that way. But it's because of what the Lord Jesus has done in heaven. So keep that in mind. I read to you from Revelation 8 and Job chapter 1 to show you that the things that are happening on earth are not by accident, but they are by design, and they are occasioned by God, but we know nothing about them. Who would ever know that upon the golden altar in heaven, you have the prayers of all the saints? Now that's a figurative thing. But what God did in the Old Testament is to show us the incense put upon that golden altar, and when the smoke or incense ascended, it was like the prayer of a child of God ascending to heaven. And it was sweet incense. It was something that was fragrant, that was pleasant to God, and inclined his heart toward the answering of the prayers of man. So when we pray, according to the figure that we have in Revelation chapter 8, it speaks about the prayers of all the saints upon the altar. So what happens is this, is that our saints go to heaven, and often it speaks about them being heard by the ear of God, and so that is God who has an open ear, who hears our prayers. But in the figure about the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, it is the saints' prayers being smelled by God. The sweetness of the fragrance of that incense causes God to act favorably toward his children. Because at times he says this, instead of being a sweet savor offering, and instead of being sweet incense, he said that your offerings are like smoke that gets in your nose and offends you. And God says, if there is sin, and if there is alienation between you and me, he said, that is what your sacrifices are. He said, but if the things that you're doing are right, then there is the sweet savor offering, and there is the sweet incense for the sin to God. So the Lord wants to see this, that whenever our prayers go to heaven, they are not lost, they are not forgotten, but look at it once more in chapter 8 and listen to it. It says in verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of heaven. Now, look at verse 3. It says, the prayers of all the saints. So it's not the prayer of one saint, but it's the prayers of all the saints. And some of the prayers of the saints offer mercy. The Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stephen said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. But I read to you in Revelation chapter 6 that some of the prayers of the saints are calling for vengeance for those that made them martyrs. And so what God has to do is this. God has to take into consideration the prayers that call for vengeance and the prayers that call for mercy, but all of them are placed upon that golden altar, and that is the figure there. I was wondering, and you should have thought of it, maybe it didn't concern you, but please notice in chapter 8 again, it says that he had much incense, that he should add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar. You have the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, but it says he added incense to it. But I read you in chapter 5 and in Psalm 141 that incense is a picture of the prayers of the saints. But I also read, and this is the only thing I can suggest, that you have the smoke of incense ascending, and you also have the smoke of the burnt offering ascending. So you have two smokes ascending to God. I just tell you that, lest we have something that is redundant. The prayers of the saints, and then figuratively, the smoke, which is the prayers of the saints, the incense. But this is what we should take to heart and be patient. Because God has not immediately answered the prayers of those who were under the altar, but he says, wait a little while. It's not time yet. It's not time. And we have had all of these seals being opened and terrible things happened upon the earth. And then under the altar, we have more prayers for God to take vengeance, and yet it says, wait a little while. So what God would have us to understand is that he does things day by day, but there is a cumulative judgment of God, and in the book of Revelation, he waits until the very last before he pours out these judgments. And instead of having you turn to it, I'll tell you about it in Luke chapter 18. It says there was a poor widow woman that went to this unjust judge and said, do me vengeance on my adversary. And it said the judge would not for a while, but finally, the woman kept coming to him day after day, and he said, though I care not for any man, and I give no respect to God, he said, yet because this woman troubles me, I'm going to do just what she asks. And the Lord Jesus interpreted it this way, and shall not God avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night, though he is long-suffering over them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. But it's not immediately. But when the time comes, he's going to avenge them. How do I know it's not immediately? Because they cry to him day after day after day. One other portion I want you to see about the delaying of the judgment of God, turn to Matthew chapter 23. And look at verse 34. Behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them shall you kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous unto the blood of Zacharias the son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the sanctuary and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. So do you see how all of these things have been building up, have been accumulating, and one generation after another generation have escaped the vengeance of God? But the Lord Jesus says, all of these things are going to come upon this generation, which tells us that some of the things have not been vindicated from the very beginning of time, that the blood of righteous Abel, Cain killed Abel, and Abel's blood cried out to God. And here the Savior says that up until now, the complete vengeance that was to be taken had not been taken, but it's going to be taken. So this is what is an encouragement to us. We are praying tonight. We've been praying for years. What has happened? You don't know if God has heard. You don't know what's happening. Just like Job, when all of the crushing blows fell upon him, he did not understand it. But God, in Job chapter 1, let us look into heaven, and he showed us what's going on up there between him and Satan. And thank God, in the book of Revelation, he opens heaven again, and he shows us what is going on there by Jesus Christ loosing the seal, by angelic adding of sweet incense to the prayers of all the saints, and all the activities that are going on upon earth are because of what is being directed by God in heaven. And that is what the encouragement is to be. Now, just a brief word. It says that after the sixth seal, it says there is silence in heaven for about half an hour. One blow after another has been falling upon earth. And then suddenly, things in heaven are silent. And if they're silent, and there are no commands from God going forth as to what is to be done, then there is a brief respite upon the earth, a quietness. And man would wonder. And the nearest thing that I can think of is that if you live through these hurricanes that have come across Goldsboro, they tell us that there was an eye of the storm. And I remember lying for an hour or more when this hurricane was passing over, and suddenly it became quiet and still, and the wind was not blowing, and you felt for a little bit. You say, well, praise the Lord, it's gone. But it isn't gone. That was the eye of the storm. There was that stillness for a little period of time. But then it continued to pass by, and with all its intensity, it hit us again. And so after these six trumpets, these six seals, there is quietness, silence in heaven for half an hour, and then the angels with the trumpets prepare the sound. So, it's just a little break. What God would have us to see in Revelation chapter 8 is this, that God has not closed his ear to our prayers, but just as there was a golden altar of incense in the Old Testament, there is a golden altar of incense in heaven, and just as incense was put upon that golden altar in the tabernacle and in the temple that signified the prayers of saints, in heaven, God pictures it again as our prayers all being put together upon that golden altar. It's just a figure, but God says, yes, it's all happening, and not one of our prayers has been lost. It's there, and we have to wait, and more prayers are coming. And then, here is this angel, and incense is given to him to add it to the prayers of the saints. This is what I'm thinking. It says, my little children, these things say unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so not only are Christ's prayers being offered in heaven, but our prayers are being offered in heaven as well. And I showed you that also there is the efficacy and the sweetness of the animals and their incense is ascending to God. And so it could either be Christ's prayers added to our prayers, or also the efficacy in the blood of Christ being added to the prayers of the saints. And these things make the prayers irresistible because God will answer those prayers. And so the Lord is showing us a few of these things, and after the incense goes up, this is what is remarkable. The golden censer that was filled with incense with fire underneath it, and the incense went up to God. Then it says he takes that same censer and he fills it with fire from off the altar, and then he takes it and he pours it out upon the earth. So evidently this censer was prayers, efficacy, going up to God, and God in turn has this same incense that cried for vengeance, according to Revelation 6, and now the censer that was prayer going up to God, doing something for the saints, now that censer is turned upside down, and all the fire in that censer goes down, and it falls upon the earth. So these are pictures that God has given to let us know something for sure and to realize that our prayers are never forgotten, just as he says, my word shall not return unto me void. So let's pray. Our prayers are being placed upon the altar, and in God's time they shall be answered. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we confess that we would know none of these things unless you had told us. Your Son told us to pray. We did not know how prayer was to be looked upon, but now you've told us, and we thank you for that. We are so glad, our God, that nothing falls to the ground. So these prayers that we've offered here in Goldsboro for the sick, you've heard them. And Father, in your time and in your way, you will answer them. And we are so glad that as we are praying, your Son is also praying. And we are glad also that the incense, the fragrance of that sweet savor offering upon the brazen altar, ascends to thee as well. So there is so much, our God, to influence thee to hear our prayers and answer them for good. So let's not forget that, because you never forget. You are the one who put the rainbow in the sky, and you said, when I see it, I will remember. And our Father, you are faithful, and we are glad that you've shown us all of these other symbols as to your faithfulness and what ultimately shall be done. And so, as you said to those that were under the altar, wait a little while, have patience, there are other things to be carried out, but in due time, your prayers shall be answered. So give us that patience and faith, and as your Son said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith upon the earth? We pray, Father, that it shall be found in us. Let us be men and women of prayer, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over. Mm.